Since September 11th, I've found myself thinking about Dame Myra Hess. Myra Hess was a British pianist who became world famous as the organizer and performer of lunchtime concerts in London during the Blitz in World War II.
It started by wondering what to do.
Myra Hess, recorded in 1962.
All the public buildings were closed, you know, concerts had stopped. Nothing was going on, and the blackout, you know, made it so difficult for people to get home.
Hess was concerned about the effect of a cultural blackout on Londoners. Not only concerts, but live theater and even movies had been virtually suspended in the city. And so, as bombers flew overhead, as air raid sirens blared, Myra Hess and various colleagues played and kept on playing. Every day they played, in London's Trafalgar Square, in the National Gallery, which had been emptied of all its art treasures due to the bombing.
The National Gallery was always crammed.
Pianist Michael Hamburg played as a guest artist in many of the lunchtime concerts. She was 19 years old at the time.
All sorts of people, soldiers on leave with gas masks slung round them, office workers sitting totally quiet, a lot of them on the floor, just to hear peerless music.
The lunchtime concerts ran, uninterruptedly, amazingly, from October 1939 until April 1946, 5 days a week, 1,698 concerts in all, heard by more than 800,000 people.
It was lovely because we were wanted and people felt we'd come to give them some kind of message which they might not know what it was, but which they felt was lacking in their daily lives. It was a part of London life during the war which was extremely significant.
In fact, many said at the time, and since, that Myra Hess and her daily concerts were part of the glue that held the British together in wartime. Cultural glue. We're learning about its importance here in America, and it's maybe a little harder for us to find, but where we seem to be looking for it is on television. Not that we haven't looked there before.
It seems now more certain than ever that the bloody experience of Vietnam is to end in a stalemate. This summer's almost certain standoff will either end.
We looked to one particular avuncular news anchor in times of crisis years ago.
And for every means we have to escalate, the enemy can match us. And that applies to invasion of the North.
But it's different now.
The three network system is long gone. We're fragmented.
Terrence Moran is a professor of media and culture at New York University.
We can't have Kate Smith singing God Bless America and having most of the Americans tuned in for that on Saturday night. We used to say television was uniting the United States. Well, television is fragmented now, and the Internet has further fragmented us, and cable and satellites have fragmented us even further. So there really is no sort of core.
Unless you count late-night TV. It feels almost as if late-night has become our lunchtime.
Welcome to the Late Show.
The cultural routine.
On the air since New York and Washington.
The everydayness that we long to be back to.
Good evening, and welcome to The Daily Show.
And we are back to it.
Thank you very much. Welcome to The Tonight Show. Nice to have you all here.
Trying to laugh at what we fear the most.
Well, did you see those three Taliban leaders on the news announcing they have Osama bin Laden under control? All three of these guys have beards.
They hate America.
Why?
Well,
they don't get cable. What's the problem?
Lately, we've seen roles reversed and reversed again.
Here is Dan Rather. Dan, come on out.
We've seen anchormen cry.
If they could go down to ground zero and see the following. See those firemen? Take it for a minute, will you?
And politicians tell jokes.
Do you know what Osama bin Laden is going to be for Halloween? Dead.
Oh, dead.
Dead.
And funny men get very serious.
You can feel it. You can feel it. You can see it. It's terribly sad. Terribly, terribly sad. And watching all of this, I wasn't sure that I should be doing a television show because
we've seen it all on late night TV in the past weeks after our long, anxious days. We'd already seen the power of late night start to grow last fall during the presidential election.
It was the first time I can remember that comics were accorded political power.
Cecilia Tichy is the author of Electronic Hearth, Creating an American Television Culture.
It wasn't only the pundits, the so-called chattering classes, but that these guys cracking jokes were having an influence on the polls, on voters' disposition. So I think that, in a way, set us up for this moment when, in crisis, these folks come on and take on a new role vis-a-vis themselves and the public, and that role is to help further public education and, yes, to provide assurance.
What seems odd is that it is the same box, that same screen, that provides us with the cause and the cure. It is TV, almost like a sixth sense. Terrence Moran.
Marshall McLuhan famously said that media are extensions of ourselves. They're extensions of our senses and extensions of our nervous system. They're the ways in which we take in the information we need to survive.
TV is giving us the messages that help us feel our national coherence in a way that no space in our country can really do at this time.
Really tense. I've been backstage at a lot of rock concerts. I have never seen musicians run away from white powder. I'm telling you.
In our time, it seems to be a TV smirk, a curled lip in late night that tells us it's going to be okay. And that may be the closest thing we've got to the stiff upper lip of some inspirational Londoners who simply showed up at lunchtime a long time ago. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fischko.